We're going to talk about dolphins now. Because of the Maui dolphin being under threat and only 63 adults left alive, well, that's what they estimate. In November this year, commercial fishing vessels operating near Maui dolphin habitats will need to carry onboard cameras as part of a government effort to protect the population. The purchase, the installation and the maintenance of these cameras is going to cost $17.1 million over 4 years. But will this provide a reprieve for the dolphins? And what else can be done to save them? I'm joined now by University of Otago Professor of Marine Science, Stephen Dawson. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, how you doing, Karen?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, and I'm a fan from your Radio with Pictures days.
Good on you. Hey, Stephen, what were the details of the announcement and the budget for these cameras?
Well, there are cameras to be employed in off most of the area off the west coast of the North Island. But the key thing is that while employing these cameras on fishing boats is a really, really good idea for lots of reasons, we'll learn more about what the fishing boats are doing, we'll learn more about bycatch of fish species and birds and all kinds of other things. They're not really a measure for conserving Maui's dolphins because they're not going to stop a single capture.
No, that's true, because they'll have brought them up and just be filming them on deck, won't they, I imagine?
It's too late by then.
So why have they spent all this money on them then?
Well, I think they are a good reason, or they're a really good idea for fisheries purposes. I mean, we really know very little about what happens out on fishing boats, to be honest. We know that there's a significant amount of dumping that happens from time to time.
It's been a big story, hasn't it?
It has been a big story, and we know that that fisheries mortality and fisheries catch are not the same thing. You know, what gets returned to the ports is not what actually gets killed in the process. So to get a better handle on that will be really, really good for managing our fisheries in general, but it's not going to help Maui's dolphins much.
No, it will make them accountable, as you say, in a lot of other areas, but why has this been tied up as the saviour of Maui dolphins then?
Well, it shouldn't have been, and it isn't, and I can't answer the question as to why it has been, but to do so is just incorrect.
So where are the Maui dolphin habitats roughly? Can you just give us an idea?
Well, the main part of the population is between a tiny little place called Pariakawia Point, which is a bit south of Kawhia, and right up to the Kaipara Harbour. And the dolphins have been seen all the way along that stretch, and indeed they used to extend much further than that, to the north and to the south. They used to extend right past Cape Egmont and further south than that still. But, you know, over the years, the records from Cape Egmont and New Plymouth gradually declined, and it looks like the fishermen that worked out of New Plymouth effectively killed the last ones. So we don't have records from there anymore, but it absolutely used to be routine habitat for these tiny little dolphins.
And Stephen, in your area of marine science, have you been up close and personal with a Maui dolphin?
Yeah, I have. I've done quite a bit of work on Maui's dolphins. We've done aerial surveys, we've done boat surveys, and we've done quite a lot of acoustic work. So one of the things that we've done is we've had acoustic echolocation detectors that are tuned to Maui's dolphin present in the Kaipara Harbour and the Manukau Harbour and the Raglan and Kawhia Harbours to see if the dolphins enter those harbours and how much they use those areas. And, of course, there are so few of them now that they don't enter those harbours very often, but they do enter those harbours, and that means that those areas need to be protected.
So it's just that they're a little smaller than the normal dolphin, aren't they? Have you noticed any other, I mean, you'll know exactly why they're different, but just for the layperson, what are the differences when you're looking at them?
Well, Maui's is a subspecies of Hector's dolphin, and Hector's dolphin is the smallest dolphin in the world. So they are tiny. You know, these are dolphins that are less than a metre and a half long. You could comfortably fit one in your bathtub.
Oh, yes. And
they have this extraordinary rounded dorsal fin that looks a bit like a Mickey Mouse ear. And they're tiny, they're boat positive, they're charming, they're very attractive little animals, they're friendly. And they're really one of our marine treasures.
So the threat management plan, I'm not totally au fait with it all, but there is a plan, isn't there, to look at a ban on trawling and set nets? Is there in the area that they are?
Yes, there is. There are a whole raft of measures that are put up for consultation. Unfortunately, the documents describing what those measures are really opaque and difficult to figure out. But ultimately, the idea that we've got to pursue is to get rid of these entangling fishing methods, trawling and gill netting, from areas where these dolphins occur.
Gill netting the set netting? Is it? What's gill netting?
Yeah. Gill netting is kind of the generic term, and set netting is a form of gill netting. So gill netting is the kind of internationally accepted term for this.
So how many fishers engage in both trawling and gill netting in the area where the dolphins are?
Well, it depends on whether you're talking about Mauis or hectares.
They're both different, yep.
Yeah, if you're talking about Mauis, there are quite a few very, very small-scale gill netters and ring netters who work inside the harbours of the west coast of the North Island. And there are a much, much smaller number of trawlers who are mostly targeting snapper and other species off the west coast of the North Island. But, of course, that's a much, much more valuable fishery. So there's much less keenness from MPI to impact on that fishery.
Right. So you're saying that you don't think that this will go ahead? Like this plan to ban trawling and set netting there?
Well, I hope it will. I know it's going to come up with up against a fair bit of opposition from the commercial fishing industry. I think the public of New Zealand need to decide about whether they want these tiny little endemic dolphins to persist into the future or not. And if they decide they do want them to persist into the future, then we have to take some pretty drastic action, because let's face it, there are only 60 or so of these animals left. And you know, when we say 60, what we know, well, they're mammals, just like you and me, so about half of that population will be female. And we also know from very extensive studies that we've done on these animals that about half of those females will be reproductively mature. So the future of that population rests on possibly 15 females or even fewer than that. So that means that each individual capture really, really, really matters.
Well, it's an interesting question, isn't it? Because the one you've posed, do we want them to survive? Because people intellectually will say, yes, of course we do. But then there'll be so much opposition from the financial arena in regard to the business side of things. And who's going to win? And how do those people who want them to survive fight that commercial interest?
Well, the thing is that everybody who has a view on this needs a voice. And normally, in these circumstances, we let the commercial interests predominate. We don't let the dog walkers on the beaches don't have a voice. So, and they've got an interest. They see these animals occasionally, and they probably thoroughly enjoy them being there, and they've got a right to have their voice heard. And normally, we really only listen to the extractive users, you know, the people who are making money out of fishing in these zones. And we've got to change that, because ultimately, every New Zealander has got skin in this game. Every New Zealander's got a right to have their voice heard about whether they want these dolphins to survive or not.
Very true. And Stephen, just finally, what did you think of this cat and toxoplasmosis story today?
Well, it's partly true, but it's strongly exaggerated, and that's my summary of it. But there are a number of ways in which it's exaggerated. The main one is that the estimation of how bad this problem is done from animals that wash up on beaches. And that's a really biased sample. It's a really biased sample for two reasons. One, there are lots of ways in which fishers can reduce the chances of a dolphin that they caught being found. They can cut open its stomach to make it sink. They can chop it up. They can do things to hide that capture. But the second problem is that beach-cast dolphins, the ones that end up on beaches, are a biased sample because the animals that are being examined, unless they died of some accident, are by definition ill. You know, they're the ones that died. So this means that that exaggerates the real importance of disease. So one way that I think about this is that if you looked at autopsies of humans and you were considering only the ultimate cause of death, you'd reach the conclusion that pneumonia is really, really important. A lot of people die of pneumonia, but healthy people don't get it. The very old, the very young, and the chronically ill people get pneumonia. So, in other words, you pretty much need to be immunocompromised first. And in that case, the real question is what caused the immunocompromisation. So it's a bit like it's a biased sample, and a sample of dead animals doesn't tell you much about the health of the population. You need to sample the living population to know that, and we haven't had a chance to do that.
Yes, that makes sense. And going back to these cameras, Stephen, we, the taxpayer, are paying for these cameras to go on the fishing boats, aren't we?
It is your money, my money, and the listener's money.
Right.
It's very generous of us, isn't it?
Yes. Well, it's a good thing. It's a good thing that the cameras are there.
Yes, but it's really a subsidy to the fishing industry, isn't it? I mean, they caused this problem. They should be paying for everything associated with fixing it.
Stephen, thank you very much for your time tonight. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you too.
It's the University of Otago Professor of Marine Science, Stephen Dawson.